counting on people who didn't get the vision. They'll tell you things. They'll suggest things. But they didn't get the vision. If God told you, then you believe. And you wait on Him.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Don't Miss God's Timing, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Don't miss God's timing. Everybody, please stand in reverence of the Lord's holy word. We'll be reading out of the ESV, Psalm 33, verses 20 through 22 is our key verse. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in Him, because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will anoint me this morning to speak your word, O God. I pray that you will prepare our hearts and open them, God, to receive, and that we will carry it forth out of this place today. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. Don't miss God's timing. Come on, guys. You're in too much of a hurry. Or you're too scared to move. Ever feel that way? Can't wait to get there, too scared to start the journey, right? Don't miss God's timing. He's doing something in your life. God has a perfect plan for us. Say, perfect plan. God has a perfect plan for us that unfolds as we obediently walk in His word. Obediently walk in His word. Obediently. Everybody remember that word. If we try and hurry His timing for us, we may miss a step and get into trouble. Ooh. Anybody miss a step with God and find yourself in trouble? Oh, I got a couple of honest hands out there. Abraham missed a step and trouble followed. Ooh. Abraham missed a step. Anybody know the story of Abraham? God promised him a child. And instead of waiting on God, he took the handmaiden and made things happen on his own. Anybody ever do something like that? Not like that, but take matters into your own hands. Well, today we're going to talk about not missing God's timing, and we're going to talk about Abraham and what he did wrong to miss it. All right, listen, point number one, Abraham missed God's timing because he did not remember the vision. Mm-hmm. He did not remember the vision. See, God has a plan for you. And sometimes He gives you the whole plan at once, and sometimes He gives you pieces of it. But whatever part of the vision that He gives you, it's important to remember what He told you. Now listen to what it says in Genesis 15, verses 1 through 3. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. And remember, his name was Abram before God changed it. In a vision. Everybody say vision. Yes, a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Wow. Man, when God comes to me and says, I got a reward coming, he doesn't even have to add the word great. Because I know it's going to be good if God's promising it. But he's telling this guy, it's going to be very great. I mean, come on. This is God speaking to him, right? But, oh, man. When God talks to you, never put a but in front of it. But Abram said, oh, Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house will be Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. He's already got a little bit of doubt, doesn't he? That but tells us a lot, doesn't it? How many times do you try to explain something to somebody and they say, but, okay? So the vision's not coming in too clear, is it? It's not. Or you don't add a but to it, right, when you're talking to God. But there's some hope there for him because he's talking to God about what he really wants. God instructed Abraham not to fear because fear leads to unbelief. Unbelief leads to despair, and despair leads to hopelessness. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. God countlessly tells people to stop fearing in the Bible. Fear leads to unbelief. The moment you start becoming afraid is the moment you stop trusting God. When you stop trusting God, all hope is lost because you can't put your hope in people. You can't put your hope in your job. You can't put hope in your own health. You can't put hope in your own stuff. So when you start fearing, you start unbelief. When you start distrusting God, the fear comes in. The hopelessness comes in. Everything starts to overwhelm you. You feel like you can't cope. You feel like you can't do what God has promised to do in your life. I can't do it, God. It's too big. It's too powerful. It's too much. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred. Hopelessness will make your heart sick. You could get physically ill with hopelessness. You ever feel hopeless and you just don't want to get out of bed? Life is meaningless. I'm going nowhere and it's taking me no place. And it's just so hopeless. Why even go on living? Right? I don't even feel good today. Now that I think about it. Stop thinking about that hopeless situation and start thinking about the Word of God and what He promises you. God promised to be Abram's shield because waiting on the Lord takes courage. And without it, the vision can be forgotten. How do you think God said that? I'm going to be your shield. Do you think that when God makes a promise to you that it's going to be easy for the promise to be fulfilled? Of course not. He doesn't want you to do it on your own strength. He wants you to see the obstacles, but he wants you to trust him despite them, right? Now listen, waiting on the Lord takes courage. Without it, the vision can be forgotten. If your courage falters, your vision becomes cloudy. You can't clearly see what God told you he was going to do for you in your life, and you start doubting it. That's why God told him, I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be there through the troubles. I'm going to be there through the trials. I'm going to be there through the difficulties. I will be your shield. What does that tell you? It tells you that no matter what, no matter who comes up against you, they got to get through your God first. He's your shield. He's in front of you. He goes before you. Could that be why we're supposed to follow him? Because he's our shield. If we get ahead of God's timing, he can't be our shield, can he? Because we're in front of him. You don't get in front of a shield, do you? It doesn't do very good unless your enemy's on your back. But when you're engaging the enemy, you're head on, right? You want your shield in front of you. Don't miss God's timing, or you're going to walk out in front of your own shield. Now you're not protected. That's exactly where the enemy wants you. He wants you to step out behind your shield and walk out in front alone and say, I've got the battle. I can do this. God? Anybody? You're out there alone. No shield. No protection. Ever do that? That's arrogance. That's pride. I can do it without you, God. Well, let's see you try. Doesn't work out too good, does it? Missing God's timing. Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. See, if you don't trust God, he can't be your shield. That's why the psalmist put that in there. If you want to engage your shield, it's done through faith. Oh, the shield of faith. Wow. Amazing. And I am helped. My heart exalts. And with my song, I give thanks to him. See, we're supposed to give thanks, aren't we? We're supposed to give thanks because God is our shield. He is there for us if we're trusting him. But if you don't trust somebody, you're going to walk away from them. If you walk away from God, he won't be your shield. He didn't do that. You did that. When we forget the vision that God gives us, we tend to look to others for help. Have you ever noticed that when you think it's not going to happen and you think it needs to happen right now, you start calling friends up? Well, I just need some help. Well, God told me he was going to do this for me, and I just don't see him doing it. So how about you come over here and help me? Or maybe you didn't call anybody. Maybe the devil sent somebody into your life. Pastor, I don't believe in that stuff. Abraham missed God's timing because he surrendered his vision. He surrendered it. Listen to this. Genesis 16:1-2. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. He listened to ungodly counsel. He listened. He surrendered the vision over. He didn't believe that God was going to do it through his own wife. So he decided to take another. God gave the vision to Abraham, not to his wife. Stop counting on people who didn't get the vision. They'll tell you things. They'll suggest things. But they didn't get the vision. God gave it to Abraham. Yet Abraham surrendered authority over to her. Don't give away what God gave to you to do. You're going to find yourself in the trouble. If God told you, then you believe. And you wait on him. Satan will often use people or things to detour you from God's vision for your life. Satan hears the vision. He knows all about it. He's not going to just sit there and let you get away with trusting God. He's got to come in like a flood and mess with you and send people to mess with you and speak to you. And things, anything he can use to detour you off of God's plan for your life. And he's crafty. John 10:10 says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He's got three motives in your life, and none of them are good. Are they? Satan will often use people or things to deter you from God's vision for your life, and we fall for it, don't we? Oftentimes, we fall for it. He'll get you mad at the people that you work with in your ministry. He'll get you sidetracked with something you ain't supposed to be doing for your ministry. Oh, well, God would love it if you came over here and did this, even though he gave you a vision to be over here and do this. I've seen many, many ministers get sidetracked from what God told them to do because they're doing so many things, so many irons in the fire, that they can't get the one thing he told them to do right. But I'm doing it for the Lord. You're doing too many things for God. He's got other people that's doing that. He told you to do this. So why are you doing this, that, and that? Praise God. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Third, Abraham missed God's timing because he took matters into his own hands. He took matters into his own hand. So after Abram had lived 10 years, see, it's been a wait. He wasn't 10 years old. It's 10 years later after the promise. And it's not happening. I want it now. So after Abram, and this is Genesis 6:3. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. She was so desperate to have a baby that she was willing to share her husband to get one. What are you willing to give up to jump the gun with God? Is it worth it? Shortcuts. Well, God, I want this now. Give it to me. Because if you don't, I'll take a shortcut and I'll get there myself. By taking matters into his own hands, Abraham caused himself a lot of trouble. Now he's got two wives. Guys, it's hard with just one, isn't it? Amen. Love you, ladies. And it's hard with just one husband, too, isn't it? And ladies, could you imagine another woman hanging around the house? Do you see what's going on in this household? There's two women now. She's no longer the servant. She's a wife. She's had a baby. This is a messed up situation. This is crazy. Genesis 16, 4 and 5. And he went to Hagar and she conceived. The trouble is coming. It's here. There ain't no taking that back. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Now I'm the one with the baby. See, I had a baby with your man. And now I'm in charge of things. Now I'm elevated. Because I had your husband's baby. You see the strife starting in the family? The contempt? I could just imagine some of the arguments that were going on in that household. Wow. She looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. The woman's blaming the husband. And why not? He agreed to it. He surrendered the vision. He missed God's timing. I'm not saying she's innocent either. She suggested it. May the wrong done to me be on you. Talk about reversing a curse. Poor guy. I gave my servant to your embrace. So she's taking some of the blame, right? But does that change the fact that he's in trouble? And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. You ever hear somebody say, God's going to get you? And they're just as guilty as you are. Talk about passing the buck. Abram missed God's timing because he did not have spiritual support. If he would have had spiritual support, his wife would have been talking about waiting on God. Genesis 18, 11 through 14. Now, Abraham and Sarai were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child? Now that I am old, is anything too hard for the Lord? She was doubting. She was doubting. She was speaking doubt into the situation. Listen, when you don't have somebody supporting you spiritually, you have a naysayer in your midst. Now, there's a difference between godly counseling and somebody who sees things down the road that'll be obstacles in your way that God has put in your life to tell you these are going to be obstacles that you'll have to overcome. But then there's just mocking of God. You're like, that's going to happen. His wife was not on board with him, as you can clearly see. If you don't have spiritual support in your vision, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And you need to separate yourself from those who are naysayers against God and his word. God puts other Christians in our lives to support us, but not everyone in our life is a spiritual support. We have people in our lives, all of us do, that just don't have the faith to fulfill the vision that God has given you. And they can become obstacles. They can become hindrances. And that's when you have to stand up and say, I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to do it the way God told me to do it. And if I don't know what God told me to do, if I don't know the way that God told me to do it, I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to wait on God. Because you don't want to miss God's timing. God gave Christians the church for spiritual support. We are to support one another in Christ. One of the good things about church is that you have people here that will pray with you, pray for you, okay? Worship with you and hold you up and give you spiritual support when you need it. And at times even help you fulfill the vision that God has given you. I know that he has sent me workers, and I thank God for the help that I've had because they support me in the vision that God has given me for my ministry. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Listen, you have to take care of one another spiritually. If you're saying things that you shouldn't say to somebody to hurt their feelings, and you're doing it in a mean, vindictive spirit, if you're cursing people, screaming at people, just being mean to them, are you building them up? Are you building them up? Are you building them up? You're tearing them down. Stop it. Stop tearing them down. Start building them up. The person you destroyed today may have been the person that could have helped you tomorrow. Be kind to your enemies. Love one another. Help one another. Build one another up. We're in life together, right? I'm not competing against anybody. Why are you? Why am I worried about what somebody else has? God decided to bless them. I don't need to tear them down. I don't need to become covetous. I don't need to become upset or prideful. I want to build people up, not tear them down. Conclusion. God knows his plans for us. He wants to bless us when the time is right. Say, when the time is right. When the time is right. When the time is right. We must not try and hurry things. God will bring them in his timing. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. I love this. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. My soul waits. And in his word, I hope. See, God has given you his word. And within his word, there's hope. If you open that book that he wrote, it's called the Bible, and you read that thing, and you believe everything that is written in there was written so that he could love you through it, you'll have hope in his word. Because his word brings life. His word brings life. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. This guy was anxious to see the Lord do something in his life. There's nothing wrong with being anxious for the Lord. We should all be anxious to read our Bibles. We should be all ready to pick it up at any moment and read the Holy Word of God and to have hope in his word, because that's why he gave it to us.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awardfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.